Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Awkward introducing myself. I don't think I was going to. I think I was just going to go right into the Word, but... You guys are in for a treat tonight. If y'all have heard me speak before, y'all know that I'm usually short and sweet. Yeah. Carter's going to time me, I think, to see how long I go. But that's just an inside joke. But I do pray, and I do try to hear from the Lord, and I do try to speak into this house. And I try, my goal is to try to simplify it down, because I don't want to overwhelm you with a bunch of stuff that you're going to get lost in anyway. So my goal is always to simplify it down to stuff that you can use outside of these walls, and that's the goal for it. And tonight I want to preach and teach on something I'm calling a molded mentality. And for people who don't know, injection molding is what I actually do for a living. And if you don't know what injection molding is still, because some people's like, okay, I still don't know what injection molding is. I got a picture of an injection molding machine, if they can post that up there. And basically, injection molding is you take plastic pellets and you make plastic parts out of it. Out there where we work, we make grills, side seals, spoilers, consoles, glove boxes, so you can start to get a visual image of the stuff we make. And the way that it works is it starts on this side in that hopper there. It feeds in little plastic pellets. The barrel melts it down, and then it injects it into that block of steel, which is a mold. And that shapes it, and that makes it the part that it's going to be. So... the definition of molding is to form an object out of malleable material, or it's to influence the formation and develop of something. So hopefully you'll see where I'm going with this here. But this is a word that the Lord started stirring in me a few weeks ago when Pastor Stewart came. He came and spoke. And for those of you who are here, if you can remember, he told about a vision that the Lord had gave him when he was younger. He just graduated, and he said he was at the altar. I'll just tell the vision just to catch everybody up. But he was at the altar, and he was standing there, and it was like the Lord come up and hit him on the back. And when he hit him on the back, a bunch of pieces fell out. And the Lord, he visioned the Lord picking those pieces up and putting them back in him. But as he picked them up and put them back in him, he was reshaping them. He was taking some of the shapes down and reorganizing them. And for an example that he used, he just graduated high school, so football was a big part of his life. Well, that wasn't as big a part of his life anymore. He was reshaping it. You know, he had a wife. He was getting a wife and kids and a family, and that was a bigger part of his life, and church, those things. And then the next week, Brother Dale spoke on how the Lord puts pieces, broken pieces, back together, which was a good word too. And I just want to continue on that tonight and talk about it and see what a molded mentality looks like in our life. And the scripture that I'm going to be speaking out of tonight is Jeremiah. It's chapter 18. It's verses 1 through 6. If you got your Bible, you can follow along. If not, they'll have it up on the screen for you. And in this is the verses in the Bible where it talks about the potter and the clay and how we're the clay and God's the potter and he shapes us. So starting in verse 1, Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel." So here you got the potter there. He's making a pot on the wheel, spinning it there. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Let us pray tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to speak into your house and to speak into your children, Father. I just pray for open ears and open hearts tonight, Father. And I just pray that you just use me. Let my words be your words, Father. I love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. So we're called to be the clay in the potter's hands. I think we all get that and the gist of that from the story. But one thing I want you to notice from this scripture is it says that the vessel was marred. And he made it again into another vessel. Look, some of us have been marred in the potter's hand. Some of us have made mistakes. We've fallen short. You know, we've had regrets in life. But what I want to tell you is if you can stay pliable and if you can give the wheel to God, he can still make something beautiful out of it. And I think that's what Dale tried to touch on that night when he was talking about bringing broken pieces back together, which is really good. So a molded mentality is all about giving God total control in your life. It's trusting that God is God of all, that he's all-knowing, that he's all-powerful, and he is a good and just God. So we give it all to him. And it's also about transforming to be more like Christ. That's what we are. That's our calling as Christians. We want to be more and more like Christ the longer we walk with him. So another verse that I got is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And in it it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." So it's all of us. It says, but we all, not just some of us, but we all of us, looking in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, same image as the Lord. That's what it's saying. From glory to glory. From glory to what? Glory to glory. That's so important. It's so good that we get that. Glory to glory. That means we're not done yet. Come on, somebody. We're not done yet. Glory to glory. Come on, Tanner. I can hear you. I can hear your hand up. From glory to glory. So looking at this, that should be our desire and our goal to be more like Christ as Christians. That's our goal in life. So from glory to glory, it means the longer we walk with him, the more we should look like Christ. And when growing up, what I thought about this was, I don't know if you guys ever had bad friends growing up, or maybe not so good friends, or not so good group of people you shouldn't be hanging out with, and your parents would say, "I don't know who you've been hanging out with, but you got a bad attitude. You need to take that back." Well, that's the way it is walking with Christ, but reverse. The longer you hang out with Christ, the more that you search in his word, the more you let him in your heart, the more you're going to start to look like him. People are going to recognize that in your attitude. So in Jesus, we're born again. We all know this, right? The old man is dead, and we're a new creation in Christ. Amen? Everybody can agree on that, right, as Christians? So John 3:1-8, I want to share these with you, because this is, I really like these verses. This is where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again, and Nicodemus just really ain't getting it. So it's funny to me, but I would be the same way if somebody's trying to explain it to me. I'd be like that, but we'll get there. Starting in verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless he is with God, or unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born again when he is old? How can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born?'" So, you know, this is where it throws him for a loop. Like, this doesn't even make any sense. What are you even talking about? This can't happen. So Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born again of the Spirit." So as Christians, we hear this, and we believe with all of our heart, and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we're baptizing, signifying that the old man is dead, and we are a new creation in Christ. We get all this. But so many times we stop there as a new creation, and that's what I want to press on today. If we're a new creation, we believe that, why are we holding on to the old person? Why are we holding on to the same old habits that we used to make? Why are the same bad decisions, or, hey, I can't do this, or I can't do this. That's not me, and putting those labels on ourselves. So what I want to go over is to try to get over the old mindset as a new creation in Christ. I want to give you two ways that you can start simply walking and living out a molded mentality in your life. So I only got two ways. So I told y'all it'd be simple and easy. I ain't got 10 ways, just two ways, if you can do these two ways. And they're submit and soften is the two ways. So it's SS. If you can think of super sport or short shot, or something else that goes with a SS Minnow, you can remember this. So the first one I want to talk about tonight is submitting to God. We have to submit our lives to God. In James 4:7, it says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." That's a promise to us, so we need to get a hold of that. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." And there's a saying that goes on around here at the Well, and I say it goes on around here at the Well just because I've never heard it anywhere else, but that saying is, Jesus is either Lord of all or not of all. And when, you know, that, like I said, the first time I'd ever heard it was at the Well, and it really, it got me thinking, is Jesus really Lord of my life? I mean, if he is, then he's in control. You know, I started to understand that he's in control of my life. If he's Lord, he's in control of my life, not me. And it really got to me to questioning, was I living that way? Or was I living my own life and just attending church twice a week? Because that's a hard question to ask yourself. You know, well, I'm going to church twice a week. I'm living right. But is he really Lord of my life? And it's a question that really helped get me off the fence when I was on the fence and not really jumping in. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and he told us to pray, Father, let your will be done in our life. So that ought to be our goal. So submitting to God is just, in a sense, it's just obedience to God. It's saying, God, I'm laying down my life, my wants, my fleshly desires to achieve your will in my life. That's the goal in this. And the scripture says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And I know we hear this scripture a lot, and a lot of times when we hear this, we think, oh, lay down your life, oh, die. I need to die for my friend. And I do think that it means that, and it refers to Jesus giving his life for us. But I also feel like laying down your life could mean, I'm laying down my agenda, I'm laying down my wants, my desires for your will, or for my friend's will, you know, and that's biblical. So the next thing is, I want you to understand that I know it don't make sense in the flesh when you hear that. It's like, hey, why do I want to give up my wants and why do I want to give up my desires and the things that I want in life to see somebody else better off or to do God's will? But the thing that I want to tell you that I know it don't make sense in the flesh, but it's one of these things that worldly things are a temporary high that will leave you empty over and over again. That's the way it works. I mean, they make you feel good for a second, but then you're totally empty. But when you start living for the Lord, I know people say this, like, oh, that ain't no way that. But I promise you, I've been on both sides. When you start living for the Lord, it is good. God is good. So the next one is soften. And to have a molded mentality, we need to be softened. The definition of molding, we already went over that. It says to form an object out of malleable material. So I want to cover what malleable material actually means. This is the definition for malleable. Malleable means able to press permanently out of shape without breaking or cracking. It's easily influenced, and it's pliable. So I know when we hear soften, that sounds strange. Like, how do I soften? Especially as men. Men, we want to be tough. You know, that's just our... We're bold, we're tough, we're hard, we don't give in, but we got to find a way to soften ourselves. So one thing, if something's not softened, it usually takes more pressure to form it, and then it usually breaks under that pressure. If you ever seen something under pressure, it usually don't form too good. I know in plastic molding, you know, it has to be, the plastic has to be soft to be able to be molded and shaped. Also, I want you to realize, too, that it's that way in everything. Plastics, clay, concrete, it all needs to be pliable to be able to form it. You can't just form something if it's hardened. So to prepare ourselves, we got to soften ourselves. I went over that. For me, this was really a heart thing. And I'm going to turn the intention to me now, sort of testifying to my walk with Christ. But for me, it was really a heart thing. And I could always feel it when I had a plan or I had an agenda and God was pulling me in another direction. I could feel me harden up inside and try to bow up. And it's like, oh, I know I need to do this, but I do not want to do this. And then I would get mad. So I want to give you a few examples. It's what I call, here's what hard clay looks like. Because I got four of them here that I could think of. And all four of these are things that I have said in my walk with Christ. I've said these myself, so. And I'm calling them not just for me, or that's just not me. That's what I'm calling them. That's just not me, because that's what I would say over and over. So the first one, here we go. This is something I said. This is the first one. I really don't want to get too involved in church because it's going to tie me down, and then people are going to be expecting me there, and if I miss, then they're going to text me, and I'm going to have to give a reason why I wasn't at church, and then... You know, some people going to church twice a week, they can handle that, but that's just not for me. You know, that was my words. Next, there's no way I could be on a worship team. I can't sing good enough to sing in front of people. I mean, I don't mind singing around a campfire or maybe in front of my family, but there's no way I'm getting up in front of people and singing. You know, some people like that. They enjoy the attention, but that's just not for me. Ha ha, y'all can see that I was just up here tonight. That's the irony in all of this, so. Next one. There's no way I could lead prayer. I'm just not good at praying out loud. I can pray good in my head, talking to the Lord, but when I go to try to talk it and get it in words, it just doesn't come out right. I mean, some people are good at praying out loud and leading prayer, but that's just not me. And then the last one, this is a real doozy. There is no way I could preach. I said this. Yeah, there's no way that I could preach. I don't know enough about the Bible. I mean, I cannot stand speaking in front of people. I can't get up and talk in front of people. Some people are good public speakers, but that's just not me. So, do any of these sound familiar to you? Or you might have even heard somebody else say them, or you might have said something similar to it yourselves. The next thing, do any of these sound like I was being clay in the Lord's hands? Or was I telling my Creator what I could and couldn't do? And that's the gist of the story, and I hope y'all feel that, because I could feel it even as I spoke it. That's the gist of it. Bottom line was, I was putting limits on myself, and I was telling God what I could and couldn't do. And He created me. So I also wanted, as I begin to close, am I good on time, Carter? I got plenty of time. I wanted to share a word that a guy gave me when I first started going to church. And I was sort of hoping Crystal's parents then was here for this, just because I knew they would enjoy it. But this word he gave me, it was about 12 years ago. It was a long time ago. Carter, he was just born. He is a baby. And me and Crystal, neither one of us was in church at the time. She was just starting to go to church at a little church. It was just a church in somebody's house, Bob and Denise's, everybody. That part of the family knows that church. But anyways, she talked me into going with her one time. And I went with her one time, and she introduced me to this man named Luther. And Luther came up to me, and I introduced myself and shook his hand. And as soon as he shook my hand, he said, "You're going to be a preacher one day." And talking about shaking somebody up, I mean, I wasn't in church. I didn't even go to church. I was thinking, who is this guy? This guy is crazy. He's a lunatic. And then the next thing I was thinking was, dude, he missed that. There ain't no way. for me, just to be honest, I was drinking at the time. I was drinking the night before, and I was planning on drinking when I got out of there that day. I was like, I ain't even wanting to be here. Ain't no way I'm going to be a preacher someday. Well, about a year later, we was attending church there, but I still wasn't, I say, sold on the Lord, I guess. I was attending for Crystal. She got me to go. But it was during praise and worship one morning, and I was praying and talking to the Lord. And the praise and worship team was, they wasn't doing too good that morning. They was really struggling. They was off key, two or three of them, and it wasn't a joyful sound to me. It probably was to the Lord, but they were struggling that day. And I remember telling the Lord, just talking to him, because that's what I do. I was like, man, this is rough. And I felt him speak to me. He's like, why don't you help him? He's like, why don't you? And it shook me and it scared me. And I was honest with him again. I was like, Lord, I'm afraid if I ever start helping in worship that I'll end up preaching someday. And I do not want to preach. There's no way. And the one thing that the Lord told me was, he told me to take a step. And that spoke a lot to me. Because with that step, it got me focusing on just take one step. Don't be focusing on, hey, I got to do this someday. Hey, one day I got to get up and speak in front of the whole church and I got to lead prayer. It wasn't that day. I wasn't ready to it. But he prepared me and got me ready. All I had to do was just take the first step, and that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. You know, being having a molded mentality is submitting to him and saying, Lord, I'm yours. You know, where do you want me to go? This, okay. I'm stepping out in faith. Here it is. You're calling me to this. I know you'll provide the way. And he has the whole way. Never failed me. Amen. So when I finally submitted to the Lord and I softened my heart, I finally began to grow in my life. This was me. And when I did, I had a new outlook on things. I realized that I was here at church for two reasons. I was here to serve God and I was here to love people. I know I speak a simple message, but it really is that simple. That's what we're here for, to serve God and to love people. And I came to church with a new mentality, a molded mentality. And I just come, and like I just said a while ago, I just said, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you see fit. I quit putting labels on myself. If you need me in the nursery, Lord, use me in the nursery. I know I'm not good with kids, but he can provide a way with that too. If you need me as a greeter, then I'll greet people. If you need me to be an outreach pastor and pray for people, I'll pray for people and learn, and that's what I'm doing right now. If you need me on the worship team or to preach, here I am. I'm yours, and that's my message tonight. And I really know that if we as Christians adopt a molded mentality and put it into practice, not just, oh, yeah, that sounds great, that's a good message, Pastor Jeff, but really put it into practice, I know that God can and he will use you. And the best part about it is he'll use you beyond the limits that you put on yourselves. Amen. If y'all would stand with me tonight, I'll pray for us as I close. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, we love you. I thank you for your giftings and the callings that you've placed on our lives, Lord. And I just thank you for the stirrings of the giftings in this house. Father, I thank you for the boldness that you're supplying your children with. And I just thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Lord, I pray that this word takes root in people's lives. I pray for the fear of the Lord in this house. I pray that no longer we're worried or afraid of what man thinks, but we begin to put you first, Lord. We begin to ask, is this pleasing to God? Lord, I pray that for the softening of hearts in this house, Lord, your word says that you harden the heart of the Pharaoh, Lord. And if you can harden a heart, then you can soften it. So I just pray for softened hearts in this house, Father. I pray that we stop putting up walls, but that we submit to you, Father, and we just let you have full rule in our lives. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for your word and your guidance, and I just speak a blessing over your people today. Lord, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. All right, well, you guys have a great week. I love y'all so much.